Welcome to System Mastery, the podcast where we beat a dead horse 1d6 damage at a time. Say, do you ever feel like you'd like to be in the arms of an angel? That's good, because we're here to send you an angel, right now! In fact, we're calling all angels to help us with this episode, and we're going to need every single one of them. Every Earth angel, even the one we adore. It's Engel, the game about angels, and do you know what that's worth? Not much. So come along as we talk to angels and they call us out by our names on System Mastery. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to System Mastery. It's me, your ever-loving blue-eyed Jeff. Joined, as always, by John, who's on fire and only ever talks about sports and fucking.
Sport fucking. I got the gold medal in sport fucking.
That's the Olympics event that John...
That's the Olympic event that happens in the Olympic Village. Let's be honest.
That is true. Every interview I've ever read with an Olympian confirms that.
Yeah.
That
it's just, what goes on? Oh, just sport fucking.
It's just everyone fucks for a week straight.
I'm in a village full of incredibly athletic people. Mm-hmm. We fucking.
Yeah. Including Johnny Storm, apparently, who just gets in there and gets down. Isn't he like a downhill skiing Olympian or something?
I mean, like, he was a race car driver.
Oh, that's right. He drove cars. I was trying to remember his specific thing from prior to his fiery days.
Indeed.
Have they had him come out yet? I mean, let's just get it done. We need Human Torch and Iceman to be gay.
I mean, they do, and they need to vie for Spider-Man.
Yeah, and everyone in the Marvel Universe needs to be like, why don't you two hook up? It makes, like, the most sense. Opposites attract, right? And they're both like,
I fucking hate that guy.
No, we have our reasons why we can't. And then they just pull out and look at little pictures of Spider-Man on their phones.
Also, there is a great comic in the Fantastic Four where Human Torch actually really does not like Iceman.
He just doesn't like him on a personal level?
Yes.
That's interesting, because up until Iceman was gay, they were very similar.
Yeah, no, they had similar personalities, and that's the thing, is there was a point where Johnny was like, fuck you, I'm going to go form my own superhero group with blackjack and hookers, and Iceman was like, hey, can I come join? I'm having problems with the X-Men, and they were like, yeah, sure, come join us, and then Johnny was like, how dare you replace me, you fuck.
he went on to the Fantastic Four,
yeah,
and they were like, yeah, we can do an ice guy. Can you fly through the sky with your ice powers? Incongruously, yes.
Oddly, yeah.
Can you do like a huge explosion of ice? That's kind of Johnny's whole thing. And they put fire. Yes, I'm an Omega level guy.
I can do whatever the fuck. I mean, this is way back in the X-Men days, so mostly no.
Oh,
but...
okay. Was he still back when he was covered with snow and not didn't look like an Iceman?
I mean, basically just past the level where he was a snowman.
Okay.
But before he became like, I have absolute cold power.
Anyway, how you doing?
I'm doing so good.
I'm glad to hear it, because this was a draining read.
Oh my god, this book is a gem to me, honestly. Having picked the book for this week and getting it off of the shelf and being like, oh, this is interesting, this is very White Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting to the point where it's like, and now your base attack bonus, and I was like, wait, what the fuck? Fuck.
You didn't know it was an OGL book?
No. I mean, the thing is, it doesn't get into rules until at least two-thirds of the way through the book.
Oh, no. It's like, this book, the last 30 pages, they're like, ah, shit, I guess we have to do the stuff that requires... In 30 pages, they crack out everything that you're required to put in an OGL core book, also all the new stuff, and then they're out. They're done.
Yeah.
And it almost reads like they're grumpy they had to. Like, oh, I guess if you plebeians need to be able to play in our universe...
Yeah, the beginning of this book is just dripping with White Wolf sensibilities.
Mm-hmm. It's a Sword and Sorcery studio, so it's White Wolf's OGL imprint.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this was, I think, originally a German company that made it that then got translated to English, because the Sword and Sorcery was like, they did some in-house, and then some of it was just... We'll get other studios to do stuff.
I forgot to check the year that this was published, but I'm going to go ahead and guess based on the level of like ironic detachment and edgelordy Catholicism shit that I'm going to put it right somewhere between 1998 and 2002.
Well, I mean, given when the OGL was around.
Well, yes, that is also pretty. The OGL started in 2000, so I can go ahead and jump it. But I'm going to say this was an early jump on the OGL bandwagon, because this reads like it was written by a disaffected person in 2000.
Well, that's White Wolf's whole thing.
Yes.
Because you have the entire, like, fucking everything sucks. But you also have, there are five types of a supernatural thing.
Mm-hmm.
All of them have opinions about the other ones.
Oh, well, I mean, yes. It is also extremely White Wolf, which is weird, honestly, because if it's written by a German company that wasn't even an OGL thing in the first place, like its own game with its own, I believe this is based on a series of books or comics or something. The notion that they were to take it and then not only move it into the OGL, but also somehow fart in some basic, like, White Wolf-iness in there as well. It's almost like they wrote an OGL book and then they aged it in vampire barrels.
It's very weird.
I don't know how they did that, but yeah, you play as one of five archetypes of the same fucking kind of monster thing, and every one of them's kind of disdainful of the other four. And they all have little snippy opinions about it, and yeah, they're all angels, or as the book is called, I don't know if we've actually said that yet, Engel.
Yes.
And then above that, in the worst font in the world, because this book hates font and hates your eyes, it looks like it kind of says Onion Judgment or Moonfruit Anime. I don't know. It's impossible to say what that's supposed to be.
God, the fucking font in this. They were, I assume, going for, oh, let's do kind of like an old illuminated manuscript look. But holy fuck, it is impossible to read anything.
Well, it's a font choice. All the titling is done in a font where half of the lowercase letters are upside down. Like, so a K extends down below the line of the instead of up above the line where the text goes, and I's are dotted on the bottom. So it is incredibly visually disorienting. Their E does not have a central horizontal line in it, so it just looks like a big L or a C.
Yeah, it's the worst. It's unreadable. Thankfully, they didn't do all of the text in that. It's mostly just the, like,
it's the titling.
The titling, and then a few, like, introductory things, or even worse, where it's like, in a chapter where they go like, feats, abilities, all of the little subheadings are in that font.
Yeah, and it's on the border of unreadable. It's not the worst font I've ever seen in a game. We have not reviewed the worst font I've ever seen because it's in a supplement and it's hard. It'd be hard for me to even find it. But there is a game out there about ultra high level monsters for advanced OGL D&D play, where every letter in the font alphabet is both the lower and uppercase versions of the letter in one letter.
Why would you do that?
It is the ugliest thing I have ever seen. It's almost completely impossible to eventually you kind of memorize it. And you're like, all right, I guess I know what that's a cue. I kind of used to that. but that's not this game. So that's neither here nor there. This is a game about a post-apocalyptic, post-Armageddon-ish, far future. It's set in like 2654.
Yeah, that's really the one big thing that sets us apart from standard White Wolf, is normally White Wolf is, what if monsters were real in our day and age? And this one is like, but what if angels were real in the future?
Well, let's be real. White Wolf is, what if monsters were real in our day and age? The day and age when I was cool.
Oh,
1996.
Yeah. True.
But yeah, this is set in the far future, and it's, I would say, a roughly even mix of White Wolf and 40K in terms of what you're getting here from the fiction, because this is a far future where hyper-mutated ultra-Catholicism is the everything you're going to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you your standard, like, oh, we got, you know, so fucked up because we didn't care about the environment or anything.
Mm-hmm. We weren't nice to our fellow man.
And so the apocalypse was upon us. But to speed things along, there is a virus called the Vitus Dance, where it kills only adults.
Yep.
And it kills you almost immediately.
Yeah, you have about 3 seconds, which is funny because they call it the Vitus Dance because you jerk and spasm around like you're dancing before you die. But it kills you so fast that it feels like it'd be hard to even convey that's what's happening.
It also feels like, boy, how would that transmit ever if you're like, well, what happens? Oh, if you contract it, you immediately die. All right, then who's transmitting this then?
Well, I think the problem is that they want to say that it's just a virus, that it's like a disease that's happening that just kills adults, and it happens, oh, over three, it happens three times over the course of about 70 years, and each time it kills 80 to 90% of all the adults.
And the thing is, in the book, they're like, oh, and, you know, if you come into contact with something, you'll get it. So that's how it spreads. And I'm like, no, you're wrong.
It sticks to porous surfaces is the thing they describe it as. They say it's unusual in other viruses in that it can implant in non-organic mediums and wait its turn to get you.
Yeah.
But they also, and this is a constant running theme throughout this book, aren't quite willing to just say, you know, like, oh, it's a virus. It works like a virus. Instead, they have to be like, God did it. And he used magic God powers to do it. And that's why it got on the airplanes and submarines.
Well, I mean, that's half and half. Because half of it is we have to do the propaganda of the church that says what they think.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are a few things where they're like, no, it was just someone, I guess, touched a dead body to an airplane at some point, I guess.
Just ran up and held it to an airplane in the 3 seconds they had before they died.
Or, I suppose...
That's the problem. There's no incubation period.
No. They're like, oh, if you contract it, you immediately die. And I'm like, okay, so the only way this is spreading is through, I guess, the children who don't die from it.
It takes more than 3 seconds to get on an airplane.
Yeah.
And more than 3 seconds to start the airplane. When you're like, oh, we'll start the pre-flight check. Oh, wait, everyone on the plane died. Never mind.
Yeah.
Instead of all these descriptions of people falling out of the plane, the sky in tubes. So it doesn't work. It functionally, so the only way it could work is all the occasional hints they throw in. They're like, God did it because he was mad at us. The other thing is there is a reference to a second biblical flood and then no mention of how that's like the one way God promised he wouldn't kill us again.
Oh, sure there is. It's like, oh, the melting ice caps and whatever basically flooded a bunch of stuff. But it didn't kill everyone, and he said he wouldn't wipe the whole earth out, so God was really doing the letter of the law.
Yeah, well, basically, for, I want to say about 500 years, starting around the year 2000, God just, it's a little later than that. They have the whole horrible thing start happening in the 2060s or something like that, but God just runs out the hits. He just trots out every kind of dumb plague, so he's like, all right, I kill all the adults over and over and over again. Every time there's a bunch of adults, I just kill them all again. And then every time it's like all these kids, they keep saying like, well, after the first Vitus dance killed 90% of adults, America decided to use nuclear submarines to blow up Brazil. And I was like, who was crewing them? Was it kids crewing them, or were there enough people left out of the 10%?
The 10% of adults who were on a sub and so didn't come into contact with anything.
But the president for sure died, except he didn't. They actually mentions that he doesn't somehow. I guess they threw him in a sealed container.
Yeah.
But this happened. It doesn't make any sense logistically. They keep saying, like, so many adults died. Anyway, at that point, adults, as they predictably do, pettily went to war and killed millions of each other. And I'm like, there aren't millions of each other anymore. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And, of course, I would also like to mention that let's get a big spoiler alert out of the way right
now. You want to do it now? I was going to say we do it at the end of all
this. It's not God.
Okay, sure. Well, that's the thing. I don't know whether or not it's God.
I mean, this book very clearly is like, oh, all that religion is bullshit, and it's just used for mind control.
No, the thing is, about halfway through the book, after endless litanies about how great the Engel are, they're like these implacable Latin-speaking, ultra-androgynous child warriors who live at the tops of mega skyscrapers and fight all the nasty demons and are purely heretic, orthodox, and will kill anyone for any mention of heresy and never talk to anybody but the highest level priests or whatever. You hit a page in the book where it suddenly goes, hey, DMs only, are you ready to hear a secret? You may have guessed it by now, but these aren't angels. That's dumb bullshit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, first of all, it'd be cooler if they just were. I appreciate your late 90s, early 2000s edgelord sensibilities, but not that much. Frankly, I think that shit sucks.
Oh, yeah. The fact that the book was basically like, oh, we're going to talk about like religion and God and angels and then show you how bad it is and how it's bullshit and how the religion makes it like the Dark Ages and they don't want people to read, man.
Yeah.
And then like, you're like, but real angels would be more interesting.
Wicked burn on the Dark Ages out of nowhere. They really had it coming. everyone's always thinking fondly about the Dark Ages and the Crusades and shit. That's everyone's, like, golden time. But yeah, it's fucking stupid where they're just like, yeah, these angels are just bullshit genetic mutations, man. They put them in a special secret box that makes wing buds grow on their backs, and then they implant them with hyper tattoos that give them powers when they get a little older. They're just kidnapped kids, bro. There's no God.
And then hey, did you get it? We take children and brainwash them?
Mm-hmm.
The church?
Okay, great. I get it. You brainwash kids. That's the church. Now, would you please explain the multiple roving inferno volcano clouds that are miles high and have malevolent senses of direction that they use to kill villages and that occasionally open up to gush forth the Lord of the Flies hell-spawned giant dragonfly monsters the size of whales?
Yeah.
Like the country.
That's the big problem is, when you're reading through it and it's just like, ah, yes, and then there's angels, and that's great. We actually use hyper technology to give them wings, and we use super nanite tattoos to make them appear to have powers.
But that's all a secret from the rabble.
But then you also, like Jeff was mentioning, part of the apocalypse is like, oh, yeah, giant pillars of fire, like, slowly meander around the world,
mm-hmm.
and wherever they go, they leave a blighted land of smoke behind them, and out come weird insect monsters.
Mm-hmm.
There's no explanation for that in the book. Of course, the book is like, and be sure to check out our book that will explain all this dumb shit.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's just, it's mutant flies.
It's mutant flies or whatever. And they don't, I mean, ultimately, I think it's funny when they're like, there's no angels, there's no God, don't be a stupid piece of shit. Science is the only thing that's real. Anyway, this is a dolphin-sized dragonfly, and it's got the following stats. And I'm like, nope, can't have both. Can't have both. That thing would collapse under the weight of its exoskeleton. It would not get any oxygen because it's got spiracles instead of lungs. You get one.
But maybe we'll find out that technically, these aren't even creatures. Those are robots.
That's what they're going to have to do. Because if they're mutations, then they're cheating. And it's just, I honestly would prefer it if they stuck the guns on one of them and they're like, angels aren't real, God's not real, but Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies, is real, and also his minions are real.
And he's definitely here to destroy Earth.
That part's real, and also, I don't know, Buddha's real. Okay, there you go. I mean, I know historical Buddha was real, but you know what I mean.
You know, that Buddha over there. He's walking around.
Who got it right? Who got it right? Anybody who believed in Beelzebub, put your hands up. Good, you were all correct.
You did
it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Who believed in Zoroaster? Okay, also true. Good.
Nice.
All right. Good job on you.
That's where that cleansing fire's coming from.
Yep, that's him. And, okay, we'll just throw one more out there. Believers in Mithra, what do you know? He's got a dumb hat. It's true, but he's real.
Dumb hat. Real God.
It's just so dumb. And you know, they don't have room for it because it's a core book. So there are the stats for two monsters.
Yeah. They're like, you'll have to get our book about the Dream Seed, which mm-hmm. is their name for these weird insect monsters.
Yeah.
They're like, here's stats for a very big one and a very little one.
Why are they called the Dream Seed anyway? There's got to be a better... I mean, this is a world where everyone lives in, like, Nuremberg or you know, old Prague or Catholic namey city type places, and everyone's ruled by the hyper pope Pontificus Magnificus Architeuthis Dux Rex.
I mean,
superior.
Please, you don't even need to try and make fun of it. He is the Pontifex Maximus Secundus.
Yes,
he's the most second.
And yet they couldn't come up with a cool Latin-y sounding demon-y name for these things? No, they're the Dream Seed!
Which makes no sense. You'd think you'd just call them demons.
It sounds like they picked the name for the demons by just opening up a phone book of Sedona, Arizona, and pointing at random.
That's a weird pick.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just where the hippies live.
It's a weird pick.
A few people got it. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay, great. But yeah, I mean, all I'm trying to convey here is that for 190-odd pages, this book is just interminable descriptions of how dirt shit everything is now.
Yeah, and, I mean, in case you were wondering, as it has been a thing we have talked about many, many times, anytime an apocalypse happens, you better believe the Knights Templar come crawling out of the woodwork.
Fucking everything Catholic-y comes crawling out of the woodwork. They kill all the adults on Earth three times in a row, and the Engels speak Latin. Who retained it?
The one child, the Pontifex Maximus, who is a 14-year-old who has been alive for over 500 years.
Oh, what do you know? It definitely is just 40K, the 2000, or it's 2.7K.
Yeah, the Pontifex is some kid who apparently was like, Catholicism, that's what I want.
I'm 14. I'm going to learn Latin. Look at the other kids my age dying of horrible fire tornadoes. Me learning Latin.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you're some hyper intelligent super teen that lives forever, then yeah, sure, why not?
Even then, it's a fucking waste of time. Like, imagine it's 2060, you were recently born, you are the chosen child, you're gonna live forever, you're gonna have to build the new civilization, and your first thought is, I wonder what language they spoke about 2300 years ago. I should learn that, because it sounds cool, and it's the fake language used in so many of my favorite space RPG settings.
Well, let me tell you something.
Bustin makes me feel good.
And there is definitely a 14-year-old who was like, yeah, fuck yeah, Latin, that's cool shit. Don't try and tell me there wouldn't be.
That just makes me pleased to think that in the far future, all the angels speak Latin, but they speak a shitty version of it because no one was around to teach this kid to do it right.
And also, who's gonna argue?
That'd be even better if their Latin was literally just pig Latin. If they're like, yeah, fuck it, it's Latin. Don't tell anybody. I didn't want to do all the pig Latin. I fucking hate it.
God damn it.
You do it. It's me. Anybody or whatever. I forget how you do vowels in pig Latin. You know what? I'm going to be honest. I'm 40. My pig Latin skills pretty much stopped when I was 8. I'm about as good at pig Latin as I am at regular Latin. Hopefully I don't have to found a society.
Oh, you won't. You're too old. You'll die in 3 seconds.
Thank goodness. Or maybe I'll be one of the 11% who survive it or whatever.
Yeah, because you're like, I'd rather not touch a thing that everyone who touches it dies.
Yes. The game is set in Europe because it's a German company who wrote it. America is not mentioned. I have to assume they were going to save it for a source book or something.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, basically it's just there to be like, oh, those horrible greedy Americans back in the before times, they nuked people. Anyway, this is all set in Europe, where everyone's cool and not bad. Historically, everyone in Europe has been real nice about shit.
That's why they also got apocalypsed. Obviously.
The flood has gotten rid of a lot of the edge landmass, except for apparently Spain is fine.
Yeah, they mentioned like Rome is fine. It's like, you guys have not looked at a map recently, have you?
But they decided that the waters rose and instead cut off, like, Russia from everything? Like, there's a giant amount of water between Russia and the rest of Europe?
I have to assume it also cut off Asia, so that we just, mostly just so we don't have to answer these pesky questions.
Oh, yeah. There is a little bit of, like, oh, you've got some, like, the top of Africa and the Middle East sort of there.
Yeah.
But,
well, you got to have exactly enough Africa for some poor woman to go Pazuzu.
You have to have enough Middle East yeah, so that you can have, you know, some shit go down.
Yeah, you got to have shit go down in the Middle East. You got to have exactly enough that every famous Catholic movie can be briefly referenced. But not America.
Not America.
Yeah. but I'm not a crackpot. After the several rounds of Vitus Dance kill off all the adults, obviously, technology at this point starts to be hoarded by the junk barons and also loses because people don't have the power plants anymore and there's no adult talent left who remembers how to use all this shit. So the world regresses to a technology level where guns still work because they are pretty mechanically simple, but also, like, cars and airplanes and all that shit are gone.
Yeah.
And heretical anyway.
Well, yes, because the church has decided that technology is heresy and that anyone caught with any, like, of the old world technology shall be punished.
Yes.
But the junk lords are just warlords out there that aren't part of the church and are like, yeah, nah, that's dumb. I want to have, like, a gun and a cell phone.
Right. And there's an uneasy detente between the church and the junk barons because while the church controls superpowered angel people, here's another little spoiler alert. They suck. You could just shoot them.
Oh, my God. They go on. of course, because, you know, most of this is just written from, like, the propaganda point of view of the church, where they're like, oh, these angels, they go out and they fucking get shit done. They're the most powerful beings, and only the dream seed would possibly be capable of hurting them. And then you look at the stats and you're like, oh no, you're just some dude and your powers suck and you suck.
Yeah, they have powers that are things like get a woman pregnant or know when it is.
Ah, good. I have the ability to know what time it is without looking at a sundial. Boy, I sure am God's chosen.
You can do the exact same thing that rolling a heal check would do, but it costs you hit points to try.
Yes, that is...
We'll
the
get
big
there.
Thing in this is
yeah.
the angels' powers
hmm?
Are fueled by hit points.
Yes, they spend hit points to activate their powers. Now, you may think, well, obviously, to fix that, they just give them a great deal of hit points. After all, they are God's chosen super warrior angels. They don't even really wear armor, exactly. So they probably need some kind of hit point buffer, too. And they'll just balance the game with, like, everyone's got an extra couple dozen hit points. No. Most of them range between a D4 and a D10 HP per level, and they work exactly like every other OGL thing.
Oh, yeah. If you make a character and you're like, what do you have? Oh, I'm basically a wizard in hit points, base attack bonus, all of that shit. But maybe I can use a power, but if I do, it'll kill me.
They're so dumb. The book, I don't even really want to get to the rules yet because we'll be done so fast.
Meh.
It goes farther than you'd expect and yet leaves lots of unanswered questions. One of the questions I had was, how long do Engel live?
Yes.
It's never addressed, but they mentioned that Engel will often complete these huge campaigns where they fight for decades against a single hated foe or become remembered and famous among the populace for deeds that they've committed. But then they also mentioned that they're taken when they're like 7 or 8, and we'll talk about the process by which they become Engel in a second here. It takes a year or two to put them through the entirety of the process to turn them into Engel, and then the moment they start showing signs of puberty, they are marched into furnaces to die.
Yeah. The ideas behind the way that this works is so stupid.
Yes.
The Engel are made when they go steal children. Now, most people assume that when, like, the church squad rolls up to take your kid...
Yeah, there's a group called the Grim Riders.
Yeah. When they show up, they assume, they're taking basically children as tribute to go work as clergy, is mm-hmm. what they assume. Like, oh, these are going to be like the monks or nuns or whatever in these various churches.
Yeah.
But it turns out, no, we just need really young kids to do this process, because what we're going to do is we're going to drug them. We're going to put them on so many psychedelics and downers
mm-hmm.
that they have no idea what's going on. They will be on these for a year.
Yes.
During that time, we will slice their backs open and put, like, bird stem cells in there that will eventually grow wings. Once that happens, we will tattoo them with nanites, and then depending on what their class is of yeah. angel, we will then do horrific nonsense based on that.
Yeah. And then most of them don't survive this process. It's like
well, yeah, the
4 out of 5 die.
The Urielites are the angels that are basically the messengers.
Yes.
And they're the best at flying, and they're the best at flying over long distances, which means that basically the second they have wings and could fly, they are pushed out the top of a fucking giant skyscraper and are like, flap your wings or die. And I can't help but feel like in a world where no one knows how to use technology and you just stumbled upon a super soldier factory somewhere, I feel like you wouldn't just be like, well, we just used some weird nanite goo nonsense to make a super being. Let's just keep shoving them out windows until one of them makes it.
Well, this is supposed to be a whole thing about like how Orthodox blinds churches from advancement and development. Like that's the whole like that's the edge. That's the part that you're supposed to feel the edge, man. This church has access to ultra nanite super tattoos and wing bud graft implants, and they're using it to make fake angels who only live like 6 years before they move them to the furnaces. Like, oh, so cool. Except you'd be like, all you're really wondering to yourself when you're reading it is, why don't they do anything else with it?
Yeah.
Like, they seem to have unlimited time, resources, and technology. Why don't they? And they are constantly losing to these bugs. Why not innovate a little?
Yeah. I mean, even then, you'd think, like, hey, even if you don't give wings to people, why not just take this nanite shit and go, like, let's give it to our fucking monks. Let's just have ridiculous warrior monks with superpowers.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that? No. I think we're going to go with using our super high-tech, rare, we'd never be able to replicate it if we lost it, nanites, on children that we will murder.
Right. So there are two, well, there's a bunch of human organizations, and we'll get into a few of them, but there are two of them that are ecclesiastical bodies that work within the church. One of them is the Templars. The Templars rose up out of obscurity again in the 2500s to help fight the junk barons and the Dream Seed, and they're just knights who wander the earth. They're not angels, so you don't want to be one. But they're out there being the Templars again. Done. There's not much
great
to them. Then there's the Grim Riders. The Grim Riders are basically like Warhammer Fantasy Inquisitor types, where they wear all black and big dumb hats, and they don't talk much, and they ride on huge black horses like they're members of the Ringwraiths or something. And everywhere they go, they take the 10, which is 10% of all the good-looking children.
Yeah.
They specifically want tall, good-looking kids, which everyone thinks it's because it's coincidental that they're just trying to take the exceptional youth. But literally, it's just that the angel process works best on tall, beautiful kids.
Well, it's, we want our angels to look angelic, so we're going to take the hottest kids we can.
Yes, that's all it is. They're just, the Grim Riders are well-trained in going forth and collecting hot children.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Love this setting so much.
And I don't even, the Grim Riders don't even know what they're doing. They're gathering the 10 and delivering to churches. Only a certain select ultra-high-ranking members of the church know what the fuck is happening. And then there's a bunch of servitors who are responsible for the process of all this medical shit that takes years. And they're sworn to silence and cut their own tongues out and undergo genetic conditioning or whatever so that they can never reveal the secret of how angels are made.
Yeah, basically it's the abbots of the various...
I'm sorry, abs?
The abs.
And abstils for women or something like that?
Yeah, and it's not monks, it's monacs and a whole bunch of dumb shit like that, which I'm not going to use. So the abbots of these himmels, which are the, like, HQs of the various angel groups...
Yes.
Are the only ones who really know what's going on outside of, like, you know, the pontifex and his cardinals or whatever.
Yeah, and the ducks.
Yes, the ducks in the pond all know.
No, there's a second in command. He's called the Ducks, and he's just like a dude who likes to fight. There wasn't much to him, but he was basically just like the Brian Blessed from Flash Gordon looking guy. It was like a huge bearded warrior man is the number two, and I'm like, why? What does he bring into the table?
But yeah, it's a super secret that this process happens, but oh no, the big thing that happened with this is there used to be six factions of angels.
Yeah, the Ragwellites used to exist.
And
Ragellites, whatever, John knows.
The Ragellites, and they all died.
Yeah, because one of them fire tornadoes got them.
Well, they all died trying to protect their himmel.
Yes, from one of them big-ass fire tornadoes.
Well, no, that's what got the technology. They died to the Dream Seed.
Oh, okay.
But yes, a giant fire tornado randomly veered off course. Because normally they just sort of super slowly just kind of like inch forward along the planet. You'd think they were standing still if you didn't know.
Yeah, but eventually someone trips the Don't Wake Daddy button and they go zinging Bam! Across the landscape to kill someone in a hot second.
So they hit this himmel and these were the angels that were the holders of forbidden knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had all the tech that the church had stolen, including the way to make these nanites.
Yes.
For tattoos and whatnot. So that got destroyed by a giant pillar of fire. And now the church is like, well, golly, we don't have ways to make more of these. We should probably keep pushing kids out of windows, though.
Definitely keep shoving them into furnaces if they start to grow chest hair or boobs.
Oh, yeah. If I get an angel and his voice drops even a little bit, he's going right into that furnace.
It's a very unusual setting. By the way, we keep stressing that if the kids start to develop or the angels start to develop puberty, they are murdered. All the art in the book is of full grown adults.
Well, yeah, I assume, of course, that this is oh, they take the kid, and the process of turning them into an Angel, like, makes them big and strong.
Big and manly, because they are, like, the ultimate warriors or whatever.
Yeah. I assume it's just, oh, this... you get super roids, and you get jacked and huge, but it retards your ability to become, you know, pubescent. But eventually that breaks through, and if it does, it's not even that they murder you. It's that the Angel will be like, well, it's time for me to go back home to heaven. I'm going to walk willingly into this gate that I have been told is a portal back to my father in heaven. Oops-a-daisies, I've been cremated.
Yeah, that's... oh, God, it's also dumb. But by the way, the Ragalites, who were murdered by the fire tornado, are the classic White Wolf secret sixth faction that might still exist.
Yeah.
You gotta have one of those.
Oh, you have to. This book, up until the rules, is so White Wolf in everything. The presentation of everything.
Yeah.
The stories behind them. All those beats that you get from every White Wolf thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, another thing I found amusing is when they start getting into the ecology of the current world, there's a huge section on farming and produce. Now, they mention that the world has become ultra humid because of the raising of the falling of the ice caps.
Oh, it's always raining.
It's always raining everywhere, and it's very humid. As a result, there's not much sunlight, and it's hard to grow crops. But they do mention what crops are available, and there's a whole thing where they go into great detail about how before the plagues, scientists engineered a tomato-potato hybrid called a pomato, and that's the whole thing now, and everyone enjoys the mighty pomato, the cross between the potato and the tomato, and it's a staple food, and, oh, let us sing to you the praises of the pomato. And I'm like, what is this? Well, who cares?
What is the point of this?
Who gives a shit? And then the secondary, like the second most common crop is the durian. They're just like, hey, this fucking thing was easy to keep and it survived really well. But they're banned from most Himmels because of the offensive odor. I guess the Angels are just eating tomato potatoes then.
Yeah. Just sniffing their own farts for sustenance.
Okay, so I don't know if we should get into the rules yet or not. Do you think it's time?
I'll go ahead and go through
The factions.
The factions.
Yeah.
So you've got one of five angels that you can play as. Now, each faction named after an angel, those angels are supposed to also be here.
Yes.
So, like, you have the Michaelites. The Archangel Michael is also supposed to be hanging out somewhere in the setting, and they, again, I assume... saving it for a source book, but they're like, ooh, any who have seen these incredibly reclusive ones have noticed they have animalistic features. And I'm like, oh, this is before they decided to just put bird wings. And so I'm sure, like, the Michaelite has a head of a lion because we fucked up his genetics. But yes, there's the Michaelites, so, and they are the leaders.
I mean, I know a few angels, but not as many as I probably ought to. Is it Rag then? What angel is that?
Ragel.
Oh, the L is a part of it.
Yes.
Okay. So Ragel is an angel who's because they do have a pretty good... Michaelites are the leaders.
Yep. Michaelites are the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Gabrielites are the warriors. They all get flaming swords because it's the only thing we know about the angel Gabriel is he had a flaming sword at the Garden of Eden.
I thought they had trumpet. He had a trumpet or something too.
Nah.
Okay, good. Well, we don't have bard angels, so if there is a trumpeter angel, and I'm sure there is, that isn't mentioned.
We also have the Raphaelites,
mm-hmm.
and those are the healers.
Yes.
We have the Urielites, which I mentioned are the scouts and sort of rangers
of
the group.
They're just rangers. They get bow powers done.
Yeah. And then you have the...
It's the healing. No, it's not.
It's the knowledge ones.
I don't remember what. You just keep talking about the other ones, and
The Rachiel. It's something with a CH.
Yeah, I'll come around and tell you in just a second here.
But so you get the Michaelites,
Ramielites.
There we go.
Yeah,
for Ramiel. All right.
Yeah. Okay. For Ram, I am who will not eat those green eggs and ham.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But yes. Those are your things, and they each have, of course, powers based on whatever. So the Michaelites, because their leaders have their best power is we can psychically link with other Angel and just have telepathy with them.
Yeah.
But only Angel, because I assume it's just sort of radio waves through their tattoos.
Well, yeah, and in another nod to old White Wolf stuff, they make it a big deal about how The angels, even though they are all trained in individual Himmels and live in their own Himmels that are really far from each other, like Michaelites control Nuremberg and Urielites control Prague.
Yeah.
But they always assemble into what are called fellowships, and a fellowship is one of each of the five angels.
Yes.
Where they live is still like their own Himmels. They don't mention how like this works.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you go out on adventures with your fellowship, and eh?
And then you fly home. Why wouldn't we live near where our adventures are? The world is a blasted hellscape full of fire tornadoes and giant bugs and people who would shoot at us because we have wings. Why would I?
Well, no one's going to shoot at you. The people love you.
The
you're
junk
an angel.
Barons will shoot at you.
Well, why were you in junk baron lands?
Because you had to fly home to Prague.
But yes, so the Michaelites get that, and then they have a bunch of like mind control shit. The Gabrielites are literally just fighters with some extra fighter powers.
It's insane when you first see them. When you're looking at the stat breakdowns, you're like, okay, Michaelites, they get three powers, one at one, one at three, one at five. And then you find out what those are later and you're super disappointed. Then you look at the next one in the line, Gabrielites. They get the same powers at 1, 3, and 5, and also a bonus feat every other level, a better base attack bonus, a better they have the same saves and a slightly worse skill point grouping. You're just like, wait, they're just better, aren't they? Yes.
Yes. They're fight... Because everyone else, every single one of these classes, you unlock a level of powers at 1, 3, and 5.
Yes, your
you get nothing past that.
Yeah, your signum, your script, your
sigil and scriptura.
Yeah, sigil and scriptura.
The problem with this is these powers aren't just like, oh, I'm a wizard and I cast a spell. They are skills. You have to put skill points into your powers.
Yeah, they use the skill system for this game's power functionality and then hit points for its fuel.
And if you're looking at something and you're like, oh, okay, you know, I'm a Raphaelite. I get wizard base attack bonus progression.
Yeah, wizard hit points.
No, they have D6.
Oh, okay. Rogue hit points.
Yes. Shitty hit points, you get everyone gets a little bit better than what the normal skill points are, because that was the only nod to trying to help the fact that all of your powers have to take skill points.
Yeah, I believe Gabrielites get 4, but then again, they get all those bonus feats.
But then...
I think the weirdest one, by the way, is the, whatever, not the healers, the smart ones, the Ramielites, they get the sorcerer from third edition feat progression, where you start picking up bonus feats around level 6 or something, and then just get one every like 4 levels to 20, and there is no reason. This game doesn't have spells.
No.
They just get bonus feats because sorcerers got bonus feats at those levels, and Ramielites are the knowledge-y, mystic-y ones.
Yeah, it's real dumb, but like I was saying, everyone gets your powers unlocked at 1, 3, and 5, but when you look at something like Gabrielites, you're like, oh, you're an actual full-fledged fighter class. You have everything the fighter does, except you also get some power, so you're the fighter plus.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at, like, the Ramielites or the Raphaelites, you're like, oh, you're basically a wizard or a cleric, but you suck unimaginable amounts of ass comparably.
Yes, well, you may wonder, how can you fix the OGL from the problem of the linear fighter quadratic wizard? Well, obviously, it's take wizards out entirely, and clerics, and anyone else who can cast spells, they're not here. So you can play as a Gabrielite, a fully functional D&D fighter, or one of four other things that are just sort of hampered versions of other classes that don't get their powers.
Yeah, you can be a Urielite who also has the full...
They get ranger crap. They actually do get a bunch of ranger crap.
Well, they get the full, like, one per level base attack bonus, so you get your good base attack.
They get favored enemies?
Yeah.
Just because rangers get that?
So, Urielites and Gabrielites are basically the two that can function. Everyone else is like, oh, I can't hit anything or do anything, but I sure do have whatever my powers are, so, you know, if I'm a Raphaelite, sure, it costs me 4 hit points to try and heal someone, but maybe if I roll really well on my skill check, I'll heal them for a D6 or a D8. Oh, and I can only do this once an hour. Please, let's not get crazy.
Yeah, no, not too much. Too much healing would unbalance the game. Come on, guys.
Oh, God.
I think my favorite one
is bad.
There's a Gabrielite power. It's at the scriptura level, so only a 5th level or higher Gabrielite's going to do it. But it's just like, hey, if you can successfully activate this skill, you gain 10 bonus hit points per every character in your fellowship. Also, they all lose 10 hit points.
Yeah.
And they can try to save against it. They can't just say no. When you activate the power, they're like, I don't want to give you 10 hit points. I will try and prevent it.
oops, I rolled poorly. You take 10 of my hit points.
Just rubbing salt in the wound.
It's so bad. And the thing is, you look at these powers at levels 1, 3, and 5, and it... Sometimes you'll have a like level 1 power that you're like, oh, this is great. I'll use this all the time. It's a bread and butter type thing. That's nice. And then you'll look at like a level 5 power that you can put skill points in and you go, why would I ever use this? But you also have a thing where it's like in the level 5 powers, be like, oh, what's this? Ooh, you can get maybe up to 40 extra hit points by stealing it from your friends. What does someone else have? Save or die. Wait, what?
Yeah, sure,
fuck it.
Yeah, this wasn't that?
Yeah, the Raphaelites have ashes to ashes.
Ashes to ashes, which is a finger of death type power where you poke someone, make a DC 30 check, and if you succeed at it, then the opponent gets a will save, and if they pass the will save, they take damage, but if they fail it, they collapse into a puddle of red goo.
It's actually a scaling save, depending on how well you roll.
Okay, very good.
You'd want a 30, because then it means they might fail the save.
Yeah. Notably, despite the fact that it's called Ashes to Ashes, it turns the enemy into red goo.
Yes.
Way to stay on theme.
Well, hey, because it's technology, it's not actual god power, it's just nanites turn you to goo.
Why can't the nanites just turn you to ash? They can give you wings and glowing eyes that make people obey your commands. They are obviously very well-tailored nanites to do religion jargle.
But yes, the powers for most of these are either like teetering on or actually useless.
Yes, there's a lot of ones that are straight up useless. Magically impregnate a woman because, you know, Jesus, how Jesus was born.
Yeah, great.
The angels came down and were like, hey, you're pregnant.
Which, by the way, the way it works is one of two ways. Either you can touch the man to impregnate her with his seed,
mm-hmm,
or you can just touch the lady and you impregnate her with your own seed. Caveat, only male Engel can do this. And I'm like,
why?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Why would only male Engel be? You could do it with a feed. There's no reason not to.
They just are like, oh, I know that you're just touching someone with nanites that I guess impregnate them
with
your
genetic material. That's all it is.
But we have to take your sperm. A sperm is carried by a nanite into her.
Yeah. Presumably in a tiny briefcase, and he's got little sunglasses on and an earpiece mic.
Yeah. He's got the football.
Delivering the package now, sir.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Delivering the package.
There's no good reason why it couldn't just be a female Engel is like, am I genetic material? And we're all set.
Yep, but no.
What you gonna do? It's just restrictive for no reason. You get the regular skills straight out of D&D, and the regular feats straight out of D&D. There are, as far as I can tell, the only new feats in this book are ones that are specifically for the Dreamseed monsters.
Well, there's fly and fly by attack.
Yeah, but those were in D&D for eventually introduced for races that could access wings that had ECLs or whatever. Those existed. They were around, but this one adds like, oh, do you have lots of arms? You can fight with lots of arms. Only Dream Seeds are going to take this because there's no way for angels to get extra arms.
Yeah.
Although I do find it amusing that they're very canny about that, where they're like, mostly this feat's going to be taken by high-level Dream Seed monsters because it's unlikely that an angel would have additional arms.
But hey.
Impossible.
It probably turns out that there's some other fucking factory that, just like you're pumping out Engels, they're pumping out Dream Seeds.
I would kind of prefer it if they were pumping out, like, you know, biblical angels. If they're just like, whoops, another one that came out is just a bunch of wheels and eyes. Whatever, give it a sword and push it out the window. I'm not supposed to fly, I'm a throne!
But yeah, powers are dumb. Everything's dumb.
The skills are dumb. Notably, if you want to hear a fun combination, there is I think it's called the Inner Strength is one of the potestas. By the way, all of your powers are called potestas. Plurals, potestates.
Yes.
A potestas is the Inner Strength, and it's a Michaelite one, and it's just, hey, activate this, roll your skill roll, and if you roll really well, then you'll get a plus one bonus to concentration checks for every two class levels you have. Now, I find class levels hilariously amusing, because how the fuck are you going to multi-class from one of these angels to another one? He's going to go back in the tube. Give me different tattoos.
Oh, dude, what you do is you get to level 5 and then you're like, now I switch to fighter, so I'm actually decent.
Yeah,
because all
much.
These are just skills, so fuck it, I can still put points in them.
Yes, yeah. There's a list of classes you can take if you're a human as well. The only two races in the game are human and Engel, and notably neither of them gets any stat bonuses because this is third edition, but the humans still get that plus 1 feat and plus 4 per skill level or skill ranks per level, which means in a lot of situations they are straight up better. Humans are just better than the angels.
Yep. What you get as an angel is you get wings and the fly feet for free.
Uh-huh.
And you get slightly better AC because every angel has a scaling AC bonus.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yeah. Well, the skills and the extra feet are going to go a long way. Obviously, the reason I wanted to get into this in the first place is a scaling bonus to constitution based on your class, or sorry, concentration based on your class level sounds like, oh, that's a perfectly functional power. What are you doing with concentration? None of the spells or the abilities in this game take more than a split second to activate. There are no spells. Who is using concentration and for what?
Yeah. Who is sitting there in battle like, ooh, I need to make my concentration check on...
It's one of those things where you can tell that the people who wrote this game wrote a different game first and were like, OGL, huh? Well, if it'll put me on store shelves, I'll give it a shot, but I'm not going to learn the first fucking thing about it. So none of my decisions are going to make a fucking lick of sense. Yeah, I mean, granted, yeah, I assume that maybe some DM at some point in third edition times was like, oh, you have to hold on to this rope or the ship will sink. Also, kobolds are biting you. You need to make a concentration check to keep doing it. But I don't think it was very often. Concentration was pretty much exclusively the domain of, did you get poked during spell casting?
Yeah. Were you trying to maintain a spell? Great.
Yeah. So it's a weird choice. There's a lot of these potestates that are full-on worthless or just bad.
Yep. I'm not a fan of the system.
No. And also, while we're talking about how it's clear they didn't really have a handle on the OGL thing, one of the common things in third edition classes was to tell you what the primary and secondary stat modifiers for any individual class you were to take were. So for Michaelite, for example, it's like, hey, Michaelites are natural leaders, so they're going to need a really high charisma score. After that, they're going to need a lot of constitution, because while they're probably going to be spending a lot of time leading, they'll take some hits while doing that. Follow that with your strength score, because you aren't going to try and lead from the front. And then you go through and look at the list of powers they have, and there's like one per rank that operates off of any of those stats.
Yeah.
They just didn't care. They just wrote down the numbers based on story and then didn't bother to follow. And there's no reason to have done that, because all of the potestates are specifically keyed and unique to that angel type.
Yes. None of the angels share any of their powers between them, which
that's not 100%. By the time you hit the Urielites, they have a bunch of the Gabrielite powers because they're the other kind of warrior. But otherwise, it's fully unique between everybody.
But I mean, even their own things are named their own things.
Yeah,
if they have similar stuff.
Yeah, it'll be called like Behold the Mighty Bow. This is the same thing as Behold the Mighty Sword.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you could just make it so that it was like, all right, we decided that Urielites are dex-based because they're the rangers or whatever, so...
Most of their powers are dex-based.
Yeah, we're going to have dex checks for most of these. Great.
And instead, they just didn't.
Yep. Like, I think two of them end up being fairly heavy on the thing. I think it's Raphaelites and Ramielites.
Yes.
Who are the wisdom and intelligence, respectively, are like, yeah, most of mine key off of this. I mean, not all of them,
yeah.
Obviously.
But it's like, why would you not do that? It's a closed system. The Michaelite has 15 Michaelite powers. How come most of them are keyed to friggin' strength? Or to dexterity or something? It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah. When you look at something and you're like, ah, yes, I am, you know, Gabrielite, and I'm gonna beat someone's ass. Also, I've got all of these int-based powers. What the fuck is this?
Yeah, it's so weird. And that's more or less it. Like, this is one of those OGL games that pretty much ends. I mean, it has a list of what humans can be. fighters, rogues, and then a bunch of those classes that were in like the third edition DMG.
You can be warriors, you can be aristocrats,
commoners.
Yeah.
There's no new classes for them, and any class that ever would have had any kind of spell casting is gone.
Yes.
Which means you're pretty much just looking at fighters and rogues. Even barbarians were too out there for this book.
Yeah. I gotta say, kinda dumb. The fact that you have all of this set up for this setting, and even though it is 100% not my thing, I could definitely see it being someone's thing. But then they're like, and here's the rules, some shit we pulled out of our ass in an afternoon. Anyway, here you go.
Yeah, when you hit the rules, you're like, oh, fucking finally. Okay, here's the rules. 6 pages later, you're like, okay, well, now what? 6 pages of new rules that are the classes for the angels and their powers, and then they got to do all that reprint shit that you put in every OGL book.
Yeah.
Where they're like, here's how combat works and so on. So
here's all the skills listed again.
Yeah, and that part takes up like the last 24 pages of the book where they're just like, oh, and then there's an equipment section, and the only thing interesting on it is the Cordoba gun.
Yeah.
Everything else is just regular gear from the PHB, because they're like, oh, well, the world is rescinded to feudalism, so I guess there's blacksmiths making broadswords again.
Yep. Sigh.
Yeah, I know that there are people who are way into this. To me, reading this is a lot like I feel when I'm trying to read people talking about 40K, and they're like, my relictors look a lot like my intransigent ultra knights, and I'm like, I didn't understand any of that. It's all just sounds like faux Latin bullshit. Even when I played it, I only played as like Tyranids and Dark Eldar to get away from that shit. I hate gothic Catholicism.
Yeah, and the thing is, for me, I look at a setting like this and I go, this could be very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
A neat setting, a fun way to play around with things, and although a lot of that is, I would want it to be actual angels.
Yeah, of course. Step one, drop the faux edginess and throw some fucking sincerity into your product.
Yep. Don't just make it be like, this is an entire book about, hey, religion, am I right?
Believing in angels is for chodes.
Yeah, no. Give me a book where I get to play as a cool supernatural savior.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to help a world that is dying. That's fun. But instead, it's like, haha, no, everything sucks. The people you work for suck. And the people you're fighting suck. Everything sucks. Go fuck yourself.
The Pope is immortal, but he's still a sham.
He's a 14-year-old dickhole. All right. We don't find out why he is immortal.
No.
It's just he's always 14. We don't know if that's clones or if he's got some weird, like, genetic manipulation or whatever.
Well, it's probably God, right? I mean, it's just God stuff. It's just more God. Everything's just more God stuff.
Because nothing is God stuff.
Don't worry. One thing is God stuff. And then the rest of it's bullshit. It's like the opening of a movie about vampires.
God, I want to know, like, I'm honestly very interested to look up any source books for this and see if there was ever a point where they went, and now for realsies, God.
Well, like I said, when I mentioned I was reading this to a friend and they were like, oh, shit, that based on like that had a role playing game. And that, I didn't feel like pressing it beyond that. But I'm pretty sure that there is a thing that this is based on, like a series of novels or comic strips or something.
Maybe.
I
don't know.
I'm not 100% sure. There is a picture in the back of the book of the books that are coming soon. One of them is called Tromsat, Creatures of the Dream Seed.
Yep.
And the other is called Pandoramicum.
Pandoramicum.
I have to assume that's a gear guide because someone opened Pandora's box and it was full of loot.
Or it's a ram made out of pandas.
Yes, it's probably that one. It might be a ramekin of pandas. It's a panda ramekin.
Ah, the panda ramekin.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck is going on with where Angel came from and what it is. All I know is it did not push any of my buttons. I don't care for this grim Catholic stuff. There's enough of it out there already anyway.
Yeah.
But that said, we've talked long enough, John. Would you like to get into your favorites and least favorites?
Sure, might as well.
Okay, why don't you tell me all about your favorite thing about Angel, which I swear feels like it should have an additional name but doesn't. I'll just go ahead and announce or go with this stuff that looks like words at the top and say, what are we going to call that? Onion Judgment. Angel Onion Judgment. Go ahead.
The Onion Judgmenting. my favorite thing in Angel I mean, I feel like, honestly, I like some parts of the setting. And mostly, I like the shit they didn't explain yet.
I was going to say, my favorite
thing is...
I like
the dream seed. Yep. I like the fire pillars.
Yep.
That's a cool little weird thing.
My favorite thing about the game is the ongoing unexplained apocalypses. That's the part the only part I gave a shit about. I was like, oh, cool, fire pillars, neat.
Yeah, but I know 100% some source book is going to be like, oh, there's a laser satellite, and that's what's making fire pillars.
Mm-hmm.
It's just shooting lasers at the ground. You're like, okay, fine, great. Mm-hmm.
And the bugs aren't even real. They're shared hallucinations. Someone's got a gun that shoots acid-laden Pez in your mouth, and it makes you think you see bugs.
But yeah, I would say the things they don't explain are the best, and it's because every time they go to explain something, you're like, oh, you're just being an edgy shithead.
It would have been cooler if you didn't explain this.
Yeah.
If they were just like, there's fucking angels and they live in skyscraper temples and they're angels. Okay, cool. That's interesting. That's fine. They're not really angels. They're kidnapped
stolen
kids.
Children that have been brainwashed by the church to believe bullshit lies. Debate me.
They use so much drugs to make them pliable and behaviorally commit. Don't drink the water.
Have I told you about the CIA Ultra programs?
Angel fluoride in your drinking toothpaste.
Yeah, there you go. Favorite thing.
Yeah. My favorite thing is...
I mean, you could go ahead and say the same thing.
The
it
same
don't matter.
Thing, because everything else got explained and it was edgy and the rules are stupid. What's your least favorite thing?
Oh, my least favorite thing has almost assuredly got to be the Engel classes.
Sure.
Because of the fact that you have two that are like, we can function as actual D&D-like classes, we work in the world of D&D and the rules that are set up there, and the other three are like, we flail wildly and are ineffectual,
mm-hmm.
and there's no reason for it.
It's like
just
they didn't
irks
care.
Me.
Yeah.
Yes.
It really feels like they didn't care. When they finished writing the Gabrielite, they should have looked back at the Michaelite and been like, oh shit, this guy needs something to make a difference between level 6 and 20.
Instead, it was just, I guess this guy gets, I don't know, he's a wizard. Okay, does he have any wizard stuff? No. Then why is he a wizard? Because he's kind of wizardy.
He's a little like a bit of a wizard, so we just give him the wizard stuff.
You know, Gabrielite's like a fighter type, so we give him all the fighter stuff.
Like, I don't particularly care for the D&D wizard. I'll be straightforward with you. I think the D&D wizard is a mishmash of shit from the 70s that needs to be broken down and reassembled. All the fictional wizards you've ever read about do one cool wizard thing really well.
And that's the thing that could have been solved here. If
yes.
you were like, all right, what is it? Raphaelites. We took the idea of cleric, and instead of making them the best at everything, we decided to give them a niche. They have some powers that unlock at certain levels, and they do things that are great, but they don't step on anyone else's toes.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing! But instead, they're just like, nah, you're not only do you not do what anyone else does, you don't even do what you do great, so...
Yeah, and then Ramielites, they should have just been diviners.
Should
have. They pretty much are. They have all these prophecy powers that basically just add up to morale bonuses to initiative and shit like that, because they don't really have a good... They have some of those, like, auguries where, like, you get to ask the DM a question, and he can answer however he likes.
Oh, yeah, but then the rest of it is just like, you see the future, and you get a +4 to attack once.
Yeah, so... But, it would have been an easy fix to be like, well, okay, the D&D wizard has always suffered from a problem that it is only good at replicating D&D wizards. You can't make Gandalf out of a D&D wizard. He only knows, like, 3 spells and is fucking badass with swords.
Yep.
So who is a D&D wizard? Well, you know, Raistlin, Mordenkainen, D&D wizards are D&D wizards.
Yes.
You can't use it to simulate and here's a chance to fix it, and instead they just did nothing.
Yeah. They're like, well, let's take all that away and replace it with nothing.
Yeah. So, there you have it. By the way, I intentionally did not name Elminster. Fuck Elminster.
Your least favorite thing?
Elminster.
Good.
No.
That counts.
My least favorite thing is the hey, check it out. You want to hear a secret? The angels aren't angels.
God, the edgy and like, hey, I can be as edgy as the next guy. That's not true.
You can't be edgy. You're that big doof smiling at the goth club.
It's true.
Hey, everybody.
Everyone else is like shuffling around and I'm like, Hey, it's so good to see you. You want some punch? I'm in Neon.
I ordered their pinkest drink.
Hey, I ordered it, something with strawberries in it, and it's so tasty.
I printed out the recipe for Olive Garden's Venetian Sunset and brought it with me for the bartender.
I also brought some spaghetti. Shh, don't tell them.
I'm eating spaghetti from a bag in my sweatshirt.
Yeah, that's right. I'm at the goth club in the corner eating spaghetti. I'm in the goth club eating spaghetti. Oh.
Oh, thanks to Robin.
Off the rails. Anyway, yes, okay. The edginess.
Would you play this?
Fuck. No, I wouldn't play this.
No, of course not.
I can't.
I don't even like the setting enough to steal it.
See, the thing is, I was like, if this went full White Wolf and it had White Wolf rules and the powers were White Wolfian, I could see myself giving this a try. But even then, the fact that it's like, religion is bullshit, angels aren't real, I was like, pass. I'd rather be a real vampire than a fake angel.
I would even say one of the I could even throw this in under my least favorites a little bit. You know how one of my favorite things in White Wolf is the and I'm always talking about it, the little bit where the factions you can choose describe the other factions you can choose. They're all snarky and shitty about it.
Yes.
Well, this book has those. And normally, you would be getting mad at me by now for reading them out loud because I think they're so fucking dumb. But here, they're so boring that I'm not going to bother. Every one of them follows the exact same template. It'll be like, what are the wizard ones? Think about the warrior ones. They think, they sure are great warriors. Hopefully they don't fall to their own warrior ways. What do you think about the ones that are healers? They sure are great healers. Hope they know the right people to heal.
Yeah.
It's so not bad. Interesting.
The whole thing.
They are the God's messengers. Hope there's a God.
I hope they deliver the right messages?
Yeah. No, it's just that over and over again. It wasn't even worth the time to say them out loud and make John mad.
Yep. Good. Thanks, book. Instead, that's my favorite thing, is how boring that was, so Jeff didn't read it.
Instead, he's all cheerful over here, eating spaghetti out of his sweatshirt.
Oh.
Luckily, I can't see him.
I've got breadsticks. They're not unlimited, though. I only have four.
You brought them with you. I mean, they're unlimited if you go back to Olive Garden.
They're unlimited as long as you only want four.
How across the street is this golf club from an Olive Garden? on a scale of...
Same strip mall.
Well, then I think you're set for days.
Yeah, but if I go back into the Olive Garden, I'm like, hey, can I get more breadsticks? They're going to tell me to fuck off.
No, it's cool. You know someone who works there. I'm the DM.
My brother works there, and he'll get me those breadstick hookups.
Yeah, you got to meet him at the back by the dumpster, but he'll give you a garbage bag full of breadsticks if you want.
Walking into the golf club with a garbage bag full of breadsticks. Dudes, I scored!
By the way, that's going to be the next who eats this cheap shit or Jeff and John review whatever. It'll be reviewing the experience of going into a goth club with a garbage bag full of breadsticks.
Going into a goth club in a elf shirt and pajama pants and deciding, hey, I brought spaghetti and breadsticks.
Who wants to be my friend? You would be king of the goths.
Oh, 100%. I would walk in there and they'd be like, this weird tubby man has brought us spaghetti and breadsticks and is as joyful as can be. It's Goth Santa. He's shown up to give us treats for all the good boys and girls.
Well, you have to leave out a gift for Goth Santa. Maybe some Banana Lugosi's bread.
Oh, be sure to leave out a Sex on the Beach for Goth Santa.
He knows if you've been bad or good.
And he really wants a Scooby snack.
All right. Well, there you have it. That's neither of us. I didn't answer it, but no, of course I wouldn't play this. I didn't like any single part of this.
No.
So there you go. That's Engel.
Indeed.
Obviously, despite the fact that I did not care for Engel, I am still going to go forth and make characters for Engel. Well, probably just the one. Well, John does the same thing, and if you would like to hear about those characters and more of our wacky antics and hijinks, why, all you have to do is go to our Patreon and support us at the single dollar level.
That's right. Patreon.com/SystemMastery unlocks the bonus content where you get so many of the characters we've made in so many systems. And, of course, there are other levels. You can unlock our bonus content for Expounded Universe, where we figure out just the weirdest shit in Star Wars and occasionally X-Men and Supernatural and Star Trek. And you can go up from there. We just finished up the latest season of TV Mastery where we were watching The Littlest Hobo.
The whole thing's still there. It's a worthwhile season.
Oh, it's fucking incredible.
I've already had more than one person ask me, because you're always invisible on Discord, ask me if we are open to doing a second season of Littlest Hobo in the future.
Of course we are.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely we are.
But it's amazing. You should definitely check that out.
Mm-hmm.
We've got more of that coming, and level, you of course also get our monthly afterthought show, and on that Discord, you unlock some little hidden channels, and you get special color on your name, and you're a cooler kid than any other kid.
You're the king of the goth club.
You're goth Santa.
Well, you're at least one of his elves.
You're goth Santa's helper.
That's the new title. I'll give it to you. For $5, I promise, I'll give you the title of goth Santa's helper.
I'll make an
entire... This promise will not be honored.
An entire new category of people in the Discord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I probably won't, but I may have the mods do it.
I most definitely won't. But yeah, you can do that. Or, of course, times are tough for a lot of people. We know not everyone can financially support even the things they love.
Absolutely.
But if you want to help us out, if you like the show,
if you think we're sexy,
then come on, baby. Let everyone else know by giving us a 5-star review and write something nice about us on wherever you're listening. I'm sure you've already got your Spotify or your Stitcher or whatever open. Just real quick, hit the review button, hit a 5-star and say, is good. You're done. You help the show.
That's one way you can avoid having to lend us a dime so we can call our brother.
Or lend me some sugar. I am your neighbor.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in a few weeks with yet more exciting System Mastery content. Until we do, you have a good one.